with our Smith store, if we've taken that route, if we've gone eBay, we've gone Amazon, we've come to our Shopify site, we're now moving, we've spent 24 months, 36 months in a scenario where we can't do anything
because
we've sensibly restricted ourselves from being able to break it, but we've seen all these shiny things that other people can do, and we've been looking around at different website installations, and on each website we've looked at, there's been some more shiny things, none of which were part of the package across the one we've chosen, so had to add some more things. And it's like the kid in the candy shop. It's like, I've been on a desert island for 3 years and I haven't been allowed chocolate, and now I'm in a candy store where there's chocolate and sweets and everything, and it's human inclination to go, oh yeah, we'll have that, and we'll have that now, and we'll have this now. We get so excited by those shiny objects that we forget about the fact we need a website that can create a Google shopping feed, and we need a website that can create a feed that will talk to our fulfillment house, and we need a website that will create a feed that will talk to this, and we forget about those cool pieces basics, that we've just become to see as normal hygiene factors of, well, a website does that, doesn't it? And we haven't realised. So it's, everyone ends up having the I want list, but they all forget the I need list.
Yeah.
And I think,
and
Dan, your
list.
Yeah.
And I need to.
I think Dan's suggestion of you go onto the better platform, but for the first Christmas, for the first key training period, you just build what you've already got is a really, really good suggestion. Because then you can work out where you go next. You can make sure, you can spend that time and effort making sure you've got the stuff you need, not worrying about the stuff you want.
Yeah,
and the data will change.
I disagree.
As
well, I'd add in there is that I think, whilst I agree with like for like, and we've done this before where migrating sites, we've built completely identical sites from a URL, from a content structure. You know, we've actually got like built an old theme, an existing theme onto a new platform, so that the new website looks identical. So there's no loss of Google traffic. Mm. You know, you minimise every potential issue that will be from a natural listings perspective. And as well as paid search results lining up, that sort of thing. So we've done all of that, but then, so that like-for-like approach, I think, is the right way to do it.
Okay.
However, in the long term, what's the long-term possibilities of a system? So if you picked, let's pick a system out of the hat. It could be any system. But will it do some of the things that you've got on your long-term roadmap? You know,
that has to be part of the evaluation.
Yeah, but roughly, how much is that sort of going to cost? And that whole kind of estimation process of what would be the procedure for getting...
It's phasing it, isn't it? So you have your, so in some cases, 60-page RFP thing with everything in it.
RFP being...
Request for...
Proposal. Yep, thank you.
But you have in it phased elements, so you go, but this is the big picture, this is where we want to go, these are all the fancy things, but phase one, this is what needs to be delivered.
But I want to ask you,
then you have all those kind of estimations and stuff as to how you can prove that you can roll out all the extra bits.
I mean, this is the thing for me, this is what I'd like you to nail for me, because I think the advice that you've given me about looking to replicate what I've done, you know, I've grown carefully, I've listened to the four of you, and I've grown carefully through my system. I've got something that replicates my off-the-shelf product. How do I decide which features are going to help me to optimise my channel? Do I look at other websites, see what they use? Do I map my customer journey now I've expanded the way in which I interact with them? What kind of things do I do?
Well, you can consider that, and you can write that big list, and you can add them up. Once you've got your new website built, sorry, you've got your new platform.
My adaptable platform.
Which kind of replicates the existing platform, but it's the starting point to then release version 2. You can either do them all at once, in which case you won't really know which ones are
taking
value.
Yeah.
And that will be the cheapest way of doing it, of course. This is one of the problems with the whole thing, is that if you do small steps at a time, each step will cost more money because you're having to do it, test it, release it, and then you do the next step. But at least you will actually be able to track actual benefit.
Okay.
And you'll be able to really focus around, you know, you'll really know exactly what the benefit that that would do. And it may be that actually you might do, you know, for adding in a feature, you might actually, you're focusing on just that feature, but you might decide that you release that, you know, you add that feature into sort of version 2. Let's say version 2 of your website is adding in comparing products, people that bought this, bought that, say, so I'm just, you know, off the top of my head, one. So you add that feature in, and then you measure how many additional cross sales did you get, how many additional additional product sales did you get, and then you might think, well, actually, that's kind of all right, but I wonder if we just change to do a month of that. And then you might think, well, actually, we can perhaps improve it further. So you can then try a month of a slightly different configuration. Maybe you change the, you know, and you know.
So instead of just doing the feature that we've done, that we need to move on to the next feature. If you see a good result, you go, right, let's keep working with that and see if.
Okay.
Or conversely, you might back it out because it.
Or it might have a negative effect.
You know, it might have a negative effect.
And really,
I think there's a pre-step, though. So before you even start doing that, you look at the Google Analytics and you see where you're losing traffic, where you're losing the conversions, where the conversions are working really well. And so you look at the data and you do a small piece of user experience, you know, get a few people. You know, even if all you can afford is to, you know, get the gran or the old lady across the road or something to come in and watch them, you know, where you have those wonderful conversations where they're going, what do I do next? Well, you click the buy button. How do you not know that? But you do those simple things and just keep tweaking it to improve those conversions. And I think you could, the big improvements, you could make them as bite sizes, one thing at a time, but often, especially with when you're doing product recommendation, that kind of thing, you're actually building a bigger algorithm. So look at the things which fit well together. Ask the person who's building your website, ask the techies and say, right, what are you seeing making an impact on other people's websites? What's improving the conversions? But also, we want to do this and we've got these as potential future projects. Which ones does it make sense to bolt into this rollout? Because often it'll be, you know, if you're opening up that little box of code, we can change all that stuff at once. It makes more sense than doing it piecemeal.
Okay, I'm just about
to go. And then having a deployment, make sure that you've got a rapid deployment system in place for doing all that sort of stuff. Because the thing about this sort of small iterative approach is that you need to be able to roll it out literally. You know, it should take the developers like, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to roll it out, and actually about 20 seconds worth of effort. The rest is just watching and checking.
When you say roll out, you mean from test to live?
Both from local development to test. You might have multiple staging servers, but essentially there's a rollout and a rollback deployment system. So like continuous integration, continuous deployment, that type of system that allows people to roll out quickly and roll back quickly. And see, the point of that is that in the old days we used to. A release would involve, before this type of system, a release would involve, right, here's a whole load of changes, here's the files that we're going to need to change, right, we'll have to upload all of those and then we'll sort of have a rollout script, or, you know, sometimes it was just a case of just uploading them all and, you know,
cross your fingers.
And then if it didn't work or if there was a problem, it was like, oh my god, I'm going to have a blog. But fundamentally it would take probably an hour or two. Realistically, maybe 1, maybe 2 hours.
That's just a couple of clicks.
In total, to actually, you know, transfer those files, the planning of it, all of that sort of stuff. Whereas now, if you know that it works locally, you click a button, it's automatically deployed to the testing or the staging server.
Yes.
So it can go through user acceptance testing, i.e. the customer, client, shop owner, can make sure that, yes, that all works right. It's reconfigured the database if it needs to, and most importantly, it's taken backups of everything it does is backed up. Then you say yes, and then they go right, just deploy, and then literally just click a button, and it just deploys to live.
Yeah.
But then you monitor closely what the impact might be on your consumer base. You've tested, you've done your staging servers. I am listening. Staging servers and other things that you've done, these steps in along the way. but you really have then got to be very hot on analytics,
yeah. Yeah. Analytics to make sure sales that sales and just sort of kind of usual stuff. And I mean, one of the big things all of this is probably highlighting is that you've gone from Mrs. Smith with a shop and eBay and Amazon and a Shopify, and probably been able to do all of that with just one person. Suddenly you now need an e-commerce team.
Okay.
Because who's going to be doing all this communication? Because these iterative things, so we're going to do this next, the next one, it needs 100% buy-in from the customer. So they're going to be on the phone with working with their development team on a daily, weekly basis. They're going to be expected to read user stories and tech specs and sign them off and approve them, to review designs and sign them off and approve them and then get them built and then be part of the testing sort of process and be involved in going, this is where we've got to, do you want to go, you've got three directions you can go now, do you want to go X, Y or Z? So it's a big leap. Yeah. So not just costs and all the rest of it, but time, investment.
And I was going to say something else that you just dropped in, was like, you take a backup before you deploy. It's like when you started running your own server, you're into all of that.
Okay.
You know, you need your own backups.
The safety net has gone.
The safety net of Amazon and all of that, and everyone else doing it for you, suddenly you're into, and then do you want replicated databases? Because if something happens, do I want to be able to take my shop and just move it to another server?
Yes.
Because, you know, some places, you know, it's thousands of pounds every 5 minutes you're not online. And, you know, how much can you afford to be offline? If you can say, well, a couple of days, it doesn't really matter if I'm offline for that amount of time. Well, but if you're saying that I can't be offline for 10 minutes, you know, hopefully you're at that stage, you're saying, I can't be offline. Yeah. Yeah. Which then you're talking,
At this stage, you should never ever be offline.
No.
And, you know, there should be...
And there's...
Obviously, you have a... One of the things that we've noticed, particularly with cloud hosting now, obviously, it's so cheap to actually spin up another server, that actually you can quite often just take another server and stick it in another data centre. So you just take a copy of your server, stick it in another data centre, and actually, again, with rapid deployment systems, you can actually just deploy to a second server, change your host bar IP address, and actually just check that other server, and then do a backup, then actually do a restoration for the latest off-site backup.
Okay.
So you can actually do that whole kind of business continuity.
I guess
a few hours work, and it's set up, and then you test and you do your farm drill every
this six is
months.
We're getting into the techie stuff.
That's
very,
it.
Very good.
Which really nicely highlights the fact that when you get into running your own proper, in inverted commas, website, the skill set and the requirement to outsource becomes much greater, because there's huge pockets of stuff which you don't actually really need to understand, but you need to know that someone's got your back.
You need to know that the agency or the person you're working with follows those types of protocols and things. But again, and the scale you go to depends on, you know, how big a site is, how big is the turnover. You know, if you've just moved from Shopify and you're doing, I don't know, 100 grand a year through your website, possibly automated testing frameworks and all that kind of stuff, it's not really there. So, but having someone who has a Git repo in place and a staging site and a live site...
Just Git repo.
You're probably better explaining it than me.
Version control system.
A version control system.
So basically every time any developer does anything on the website, they... first of all, they need some code to work on, so they have to check out a version of the code.
Yes.
And then they make their changes and alterations and sort of think, I've now done some more code changes which have got me one step closer to doing a task or job in hand. And they then commit that back to that version control system. If somebody else has also checked out, and this is where it becomes really advantageous, you should always have two or three people working on any one project, so you have crossover in case somebody wins the lottery and ends up going around the world. You need that sort of knowledge transfer. So you always need to have two or three people working on any project at the same time, and therefore those people will overwrite each other's files if they're not careful. Version control systems means that when developer two that has also checked out the same code base that day, when they come to commit back, if somebody else has already made a change to a file, it will say, sorry, you can't update that. The following person has added the following lines in, and then you actually have to say, okay, oh right, yeah, well, I'll incorporate those, and you basically
stops you writing over the top of each other.
So you can basically merge those changes together. But the most important thing about it is that A, you can work on branches at a time, but you can always go back to where you were, you know, a year ago if necessary. Or
so from a consumer, from a client point of view, when I'm looking to work with the experts, you know, I've got to level where I am having, I'm having a customised product. I need to have a certain number of protocols, is the phrase that you use down in terms to understand, not necessarily the detail in the way that Toby's
explained.
But I need a checklist. Where do I find one of these checklists? Do I buy that expertise in from somebody else, or
again, depending on your own personal level of technical understanding, you can Google it and probably find a few less and merge a few of those together, and that will give you a starting point.
Okay.
Again, depending on what you're spending and your budgets and things. And it's just so that you know when you're going to tender and getting various companies or freelancers to pitch for your work, that if as long as they can check off, say you've got 10 items, as long as they can check off 2/3 of those, you know, and some of the more important, make sure the most important ones, then at least they're doing things properly. They've thought about it. They're not just doing this on the side and messing around. They've actually got some processes and things. So you've done your bit of due diligence to make sure that they're doing due diligence in the work that they're doing.
So they understand the need for disaster recovery and version control.
This can help you from going with your mate's mate who's told you they can do this kind of stuff for you and will charge you X amount. It can stop you from going that route. They may be lovely and have the best intentions. You could go down that route and come unstuck very quickly. Whereas if you've got this list, this checklist, then at least if they go, I do all of that, then at least you can go with your mates, mate, knowing that they are doing things properly.
Lovely. I think that's superb. I think we've gone, in that little conversation, we've gone from a journey from me selling on eBay the odd few items, through to Amazon, through to using Shopify, through to having a customised site. Of plenty of tips along the way. I'll try and summarise in a minute. We're only sort of last nuggets of wisdom in terms of e-commerce, as somebody setting out on this journey, you might impart.
I would say don't go charging in with your eyes shut. Be pragmatic and patient and watch the numbers. It's a numbers game. Don't go on your gut. Look at the numbers.
Prove it.
And if your numbers say no, then stop doing that and look at the ones that are saying yes and going that way. Just because you prefer these other products and things, you know, it's like with all business, still take the emotion out, look at the numbers, because there are people doing this purely on a numbers game who are very, very technical and very, very smart. And they're doing very, very well. So you need to kind of take that similar approach.
Cool.
Yeah, Toby? It's a turnover. Just basically, if you're researching a product and you're at the stage where you're looking at suppliers, find out the turnover of similar businesses that are using that. So if you're working on a standard sort of retail 100% markup model, then find other businesses that are kind of similar to that in terms of, you know, they buy for something for 50 quid, they sell it for 100 quid, and they take the risk on the stock, and, you know, and it's kind of similar. And actually, if they're choosing a solution and they're turning over £120,000, or they have a solution and they're turning over £120,000, and they're going to say, yes, this is the best thing, best choice, then that's probably the right sort of point. Okay. But actually, another solution, you might see another solution which you think, wow, it's just as epic, that's going to do everything I've ever wanted. You know, at what cost?
Okay.
And therefore, also, what? You know, it's very easy for somebody turning over £1 million to spend £50,000 on a website, because that's 5% of turnover. Yeah, that's, you know, but that's going to enable them to grow by 30%. Well, you know, actually, they will make, out of their additional profit, they will cover the cost of £50,000 worth of annual development. That's a very different business from somebody that's turning over £100,000.
Okay. Do that appropriately.
So when choosing options, try to find who else.
Leave your ego at home.
I often say to people, don't even think about doing that until you're turning over £250,000, £500,000, something like that. Because actually, no one else is going to be successful. You know, I have seen businesses, I'm mentioning their names, who have really branched out and invested very, very heavily in, you know, very, very large systems, but haven't quite got the turnover to.
And end up, as Mike said, being driven by the system rather than the, you know, actually managing it themselves. Mike, any?
I was going to say, don't get bogged in detail.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it simple. You know, don't have you say that. You know, they're all singing, all dancing. You know, you're there to sell. You know, the end result is you want to sell.
Yes.
And you know, it might have something down the left hand side column or the right hand side column or something at the bottom that you think is really great, but if it doesn't make a sale. And if it takes you 6 months to develop that to get there,
yeah,
that's 6 months of selling that you haven't done.
So you're more with it. You're kind of giving us the kind of Colin Chapman philosophy of add lightness, really. I mean, you know, don't bulk it out if you don't need to.
Yeah,
make sure you understand.
I mean, not at the very the very beginning anyway.
Yeah,
that's later when you're in your half a million turnover or something, then you can justify that maybe it's worth doing.
Fine. Thanks, Mike. Chloe, last word from you.
Keep optimizing and optimize everything.
Everything.
Your team, your website, your products, your product images, your copy, your marketing. It's all an optimization game.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Well, in terms of the CDMG, I just draw that conversation to a close. I'd like to thank Chloe, Mike, Dan and Toby for contributing to it. If you'd enjoyed listening to this, please join us for a CDMG meeting at some point. They're regularly on our website, and we'll also put a summary of the top 10 tips from our team of four. Thank you very much for listening.